Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Take all the praise, take all the glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. You may be seated. God bless you. Praise God. Again, you're welcome to Bible study. There are many things available to us as believers, like I began sharing last week. But none of them is as important as the word of the Lord. Of all that is available to the believer, none is as important as the word. The reason is because the word is the boundary of God's reality. He said, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. He said, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So the word of God is God. The reason we have Bible studies like this is because we want people to begin to live the victorious life as the normal way of existence. When people are not taught the word of God, they put their faith in others. And so they will only live life victoriously to the degree that those they trust makes it available to them. And so if there is nobody with the healing anointing, then they become victims of sickness. If there's nobody with a prophetic word to move them forward, they become victims of the circumstances of life. That is not what God designed for us to live. In Isaiah 34 verse 16, it says, "Search ye out of the book of the law and read." He said, none of these things shall fail. He said, the mouth of the Lord, it has spoken it, and his spirit has gathered it. And so as we gather the word of God in our spirit until it becomes our consciousness, only then shall we live the victorious life. Praise the Lord. And so Bible studies like this are grounds where we purely examine the word of God to make truth available for believers so they can live by them. It's not primarily an impartation service. It's not primarily a prophetic service. It's a service of digging into the word with the consciousness of apprehending it, putting it to work, and living it out until it becomes your experience. It says strong meat belongs to them. Hebrews 5:14. Who are of age, who by reason of use, they put it to work. It said they have exercised their senses to discern good and evil. And so welcome again. Open up your spirit. Receive these instructions and put them to work. I know some of you, you want us to pray for you after the service. I know some of you are trusting God for a prophetic word. But most importantly, you've got to lay hold on these words and begin to practice them. Peter said we have a more sure word of prophecy. He was on the mount where Jesus was transfigured. He said we saw him transfigured. We saw his excellent majesty. He said, but beyond those visionary experiences, he said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. He said, for prophecy did not come in old time by the will of man. He said, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God. These words are the breath of God. And so as these things are brought to you today, catch them. Put them to work. And see how your life will become an endless stream of glory. You are not supposed to go up and down, fluctuating through life. Your path is supposed to be upward and forward only. He said the path of the just, Proverbs 4:18, is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. But the only way that can happen is when your life is built on the word of God. He said, for the one that receives the word and puts it to work has built his house upon the rock. He said, when the wind hit against it boisterously, it will stand. Somebody will not just receive this word today, but will go putting them to work, and on the strength of that, become like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. If you are the one, your amen will be louder. Amen. Praise God. So we are on a foundation series, trying to establish precepts upon precepts, the basics of the kingdom that defines our essence. And so we looked at the doctrine of salvation. We looked at the doctrine of the new creation. Now we are trying to examine the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We looked at the doctrine of salvation because only by it were you brought into the kingdom. The Bible said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So when we examined the doctrine of salvation, it was designed to bring those who are not yet saved into the kingdom, and for those who have been saved to understand doctrinally what has happened to them. We consider the doctrine of the new creation because you may have been saved, but it's also possible that you are defining your value system based on what the circumstances around state or dictates for you. The doctrine of the new creation helps you to define yourself only how God sees you. That your circumstances may not be favorable now does not mean you are a failure. You've got to define yourself how God defines you in order to live how God made you to live. This is why we looked at the doctrine of the new creation. And then we are looking at the doctrine of the Holy Spirit because it's important for you to know that it's not enough to know doctrinally or legally the things that God has made available to you. It's also important for you to know how to access help by the Holy Spirit to make those legal positions become your experiential position. Because it's possible for God to call you his righteousness, but you are living in immorality. It's possible for God to call you his righteousness, but you are living in a life of sin. You've got to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit and know how to make the most of him before you can experientially live out what God legally made you in the Spirit. There are many people today who confess a lot of beautiful things, but their lives is a gross departure from it. It's not because what they say is a lie. It's actually because what they say is a reality in another realm. The Holy Spirit is the only personality that can bring that reality from another realm to their realm. And for that to happen, they need to understand his person and understand his ministry to make the most of it. And so when we began looking at the ministry of the Holy Spirit last week, the first thing we said was important for us to understand is the fact that he's not an influence. He's not just a force hovering around you. There are two things you must understand primarily about the Holy Spirit to help you make the most of what he has to offer. The first is that he is a God, or he is God rather. Not a God, he is God. And we show from scripture points that validates that claim that the Holy Spirit is God. And then the second thing we said you need to know is that he's a person. If you know he's a person, you will interact with him and deal with him the way you deal with every other person. Some people complain that they don't know how to build a relationship with the Holy Spirit. The reason is because they thought he's a wind. They thought he's fire. They thought he's thunder and lightning. And so how do you build a relationship with fire? That's why they struggle. But if they know the Holy Ghost is a person, they will understand the emotional dimension of the Holy Spirit and they will not grieve him. They will not quench him. If they know he's a person, they will understand that he has a mind. So they will interact with him cognitively and mentally. But because they don't know he's a person, every approach towards the Holy Spirit is at best religious. And so they find themselves struggling. So we established that the Holy Ghost is God. And we also established that the Holy Ghost is a person with a mind, a will, an emotion. And the way we are as persons, that's how he is. Because we're created in his image and in his likeness. And so we went further to look at the ministries of the Holy Spirit. And we said the first ministry of the Holy Spirit is to the heavenly realms. Because before the earth was, he is. The Bible said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1 verse 1. Now when you read it, you think as God was creating heaven, he was creating earth. Ha! My brother. He said heaven and earth because you're on earth. If you enter the syllabus of God, he created heavens and many other things before he came to earth. But tonight is not a night of excavating mysteries from scriptures. But earth is not the second thing God created after heaven. Earth was quoted because you're on earth and is dealing with men. If he was not dealing with men, he would have called heaven and something else. But just to buttress the point I'm trying to make is the fact that he created the heavenly civilization and he was running it for aeons that could not be captured in time before it became necessary for earth to be created. Earth became necessary because God wanted to make man. And according to the law of creation, every created being must exist within the context of an environment. And man could not find expression except as there is an environment for him to find expression. This is why earth came into the equation. But when God created the heavenly beings, they created the heavens. And the Holy Ghost was superintending over the heavenly realms before he came to earth. Praise God. So the first ministry of the Holy Spirit to creation is to the heavens. And I showed you a few scriptures. I told you, spirits sustain the nature of spirits or spiritual realms. And so because the Holy Spirit is the first of spirit, the realm carries his nature. That means he is the atmosphere of that realm. I went further to let us know that spirit beings are the breath of God. When Jesus was formed in the womb of the woman, he said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. That thing that will be formed in you will be called the Son of the Highest. So when spirits are created, the Holy Ghost is breathed. When he created man in the garden, in Genesis 2:7, he said, God breathed into the dust and he became a living soul. So the breath is what carries spirit life. So he is the atmosphere, he is the essence of spiritual beings, and he is the substance of life. These and many more were the ministries that he was offering in the heavenly realms. And I said, beyond the heavenly realms, the Holy Ghost also has a ministry to nature. The water is not at the boundary of the sea by geographical means. If the Holy Ghost is withdrawn, the Bible said the elements of the earth will melt. He's the one that keeps the visible realm in place. I read for us from Psalm 104 verse 30. The Bible said you sent your spirit, they were created. And you released your breath and the faces of the earth were renewed. So the Holy Ghost is the one that keeps the earth in order. That's why the planetary bodies are hanging in nowhere. They bring different laws to explain what is happening. At best, science can explain what is happening. For example, science will tell you the reason the planets are in their orbit is because of centripetal force and centrifugal force. It is the balance between centripetal force and centrifugal force that keeps the planetary bodies in place. That is physics. They don't know what they are saying. Because the first thing they need to understand is, how did the forces come about? The Bible said the pillars of the earth. You know, the reason we are explaining this is to give you an idea of the personality you are dealing with. Because if you don't know him, you can go and hide in the room and off the light and do something. Because men didn't see you, you assume you come out and pretend with men. If you know this person, you will know that even the air you were breathing behind closed doors, he is the air. He's the air. You hid yourself. You off the light. When you finish doing what you are doing, you came out with tie. And you say, praise God. Praise the Lord. The air you breathed, when you hid behind, he's the air. So you can't hide. You are naked before him. If you know that, you will not come under his government and say, Lord, what will you have me do? That's why we are explaining all of this. So that you know that even if men don't see you, nature is a witness against you. Because the governor of the realm, he walks through nature. And so when we finished that, we said, the Holy Ghost does not only have ministry to nature, he also has ministry to man. And I said, there are five basic ministries that the Holy Ghost sustains towards man. The first is to all men. And I said all men because before we came to know God, we were all sinners. He said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the Holy Ghost is not just providing ministries to Christians, ministry to Christians and believers. The ministry of the Holy Ghost is first of all to the unbelievers. And the summary of the ministry of the Holy Ghost to the unbelievers, amongst many other attendant attributes, is the ministry of conviction. Because the Holy Ghost can help an unbeliever, but his goal is not to help him, because he's helping him unto doom. So the primary ministry of the Holy Ghost to the unbeliever is conviction. Sometimes unbelievers are traveling. They are supposed to have an accident. Something happens and it's changed. That's part of the helps ministry. But that's not his primary ministry to them. Because you have saved them from an accident, they are still going to hell. So the ministry of the Holy Ghost to the unbeliever is not primarily helps ministry. It's primarily the ministry of conviction. And so in John 16 verse 8, it says, when the Spirit of truth is come, it says he will convict the world of sin. Everyone that is in the world, he said, he will convict them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Because the idea is to turn them away from death into life, to bring them from vanity into the essence of eternal realities. The first ministry of the Holy Ghost is to convict men. That's why when we go out to preach, we don't depend on the Bible verses we know. We study, we pray, but we don't depend on our prayer. And as I go further, I will explain some things to you. Some people believe so much in prayer. You will be helpless because your power is not in your prayer. Your power is in the Holy Ghost. Your prayer is a channel of connecting to the Holy Ghost. If you believe in the prayer and you don't believe in the Holy Spirit or sustain his consciousness, you will pray into weariness and spiritual lethargy. That's why many prayer warriors are failures. They pray, but they don't know the Holy Ghost. A lot of people they believe in the word. So they come, they quote 25 scriptures as introduction. They release this one. When they quote 25 scriptures and people start clapping, they move back. Something is happening. When you are done quoting those scriptures, you will now discover the governor of the realm have not shown up. And because his influence is not there, your scripture will educate them. They will say, Kai, this man is intelligent. It won't touch their heart. Because conviction is not in the brain. Conviction is in the heart. It's the Holy Ghost that enters the heart of men and cuts them in the heart. In Acts 2:37, when Peter was done talking, he said their hearts were pricked. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? That's why whatever we do, be it prayer, be it fasting, be it study of the word, we come to the Holy Ghost. Our goal is to arrive there so that he will take over. Our prayer is to align so that the movements of the waters can begin. Our study of the world is to enter his ecosystem so that they can begin to function. If he's not in charge, everything is called religion. Because he's the one that convicts men. Have you not seen people preach the best messages? They come and shake them. A fornicator will come and shake you and say, that was a great message. My God. He heard an intelligent message. He didn't touch his heart. A thief hears the message and even sows a seed to your life. Say, God, this man is doing well. I want to help him. There are some who are even ministers. I saw the pre-wedding picture of a global gospel minister recently. Somebody drew my attention to it. The wedding gown was torn to this place. They are performers. They don't know the Holy Ghost. So there's nothing happening in their conscience. In the pre-wedding photo, they were kissing. When they showed me, I said, no, it's not true. When I saw it, I said, okay, no wonder. Very soon, if people who sing are not spiritual, we will when we finish praying, even if our voice is like frog, we will come and sing, praise the Lord. It's not about a voice, it's the spirit. Because if that one can come on public, only God knows what happens in the private. That's the world we are living. The Holy Ghost is far. We have become classy and excellent. So when we come, it's about class, glamour, and popularity. Because you know 10 million people. It is garbage. The Holy Ghost is not there. That's the world we are living in. Relegate the Holy Ghost to the background. Bring excellence and substitute him. And when we show up in a classy way, because we have money and one or two things, it's a joke. In the realm where the mortals dwell, they don't count money. When you show up, they weigh you by your purity. Isaiah came, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And when he showed up, he discovered for the first time that they don't have titles there. They call men based on the glow and the glory that they carry. Because when the seraphim showed up, the first thing he noticed was that they had eyes littered all over them. That means nothing hides there. And when they checked him, he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Nobody questioned. He started confessing. And before he could participate in the league of gods, in the corridors of heaven, they had to touch his tongue with the coal of fire. Because here, purity is a language. It's a language. It's an utterance. When they check you, they want to weigh you in the scales of balances. What do you carry? You are popular among men, but the spirits don't know you. You are alien. Because the Holy Ghost has not validated what you are doing. Many started well, but they began to pursue the wrong thing. That's why conviction is a permanent ministry that the Holy Ghost brings to men. I can be preaching here, and I make a statement, and the Holy Ghost leaves me on the altar. I will stop and start apologizing. Because he will let you know that it's not a show. If I needed a show, there are 1,000 ways to do it. Only the mountains and the planetary bodies can do a better show to God than you. When the stars are in the constellation, you will know that the signature of God is supreme. It's not what you do on an altar. If there's no conviction, then the Holy Ghost is gone. That civilization is now alien. God doesn't know it. I'm telling you this so you don't follow the wrong people and be mentored by the wrong people. Excellence, money, class, popularity, and glory is garbage if the signature of God is not there. When we see certain things, we cry. Because it shows that if something is not done quick, then the heritage of God will be cut off. This is why we cry for revival. Because when revival comes, it's the vengeance of the Holy Ghost that you see. You can't walk in. He said, no man dare join themselves with them. The glory will kill men. It will kill some people. You show up, it will kill you. I've seen a measure of it. I was in Port Harcourt last year. I preached somewhere. And when I left, 6 days later, half of the people took him. The pastor came back to tell me, this is not fabricated. The second in command was sleeping with almost every beautiful lady. He was cut off. Because what came was vengeance. When the glory comes, it's not just hallelujah, vengeance. Half of the congregation took it. They all had to repent. And the guy didn't repent. The man was praying. He saw him and he went to him and said, Kai, you are sleeping with this sister. You are sleeping. He said, no. You lie. After 4 days, he now heard a voice. You won't come out of this one. Because the glory had shown up. You won't come out of this one. 6 days later, he died. He told God, if you give me another chance, I will do better. He didn't repent. He was looking for another chance. And God cut him off. Because when revival comes, the Ananias will die. He said, when the land was yours, was it not yours? Why do you have to lie to the Holy Ghost? It's a double-edged sword. It was cut off. He said, Sapphira came 3 hours later. Wanted to do drama. Did you sell the land for so and so? He said, yes. The feet of them that carried your husband, they are at the door. It's not every feet that bring glad tidings. Some feet bring judgment. It's in the day of revival that you see the double-edged sword. That's why the church cries for revival. Because there's too much garbage. We need to be purified. The first ministry of the Holy Ghost to man is the convicting ministry. The second ministry of the Holy Ghost It's not to every man. This one is for those who have been convicted. They are called believers. Because after conviction, the second protocol is activated. It's called the transformational ministry. The goal of the transformational ministry is to make you sustain the mind of Christ. So that you don't just talk about the Jesus you read in the book. His mind becomes your mind. I've seen some strange things in recent times. That people come to church that they want to work for God. You now say, go and buy me wire. You know what they call wire? Cord. The cord is 5,000. They will come back and tell you, Kai, their heart is in this thing. This cord is 25,000. I now saw the need for the transformational ministry. Somebody will tell you, I'm adding my money to help. That adding his money to help is the one he's actually deducting from the ministry's account. Because what is 1 million? He will tell you he's supporting with 200,000. He will now go and buy it 1.4 million. When you pay, he will carry 400,000. He helped you. He helped you by taking. So you will be grateful. But it's a strange operation. Have you seen many churches now? They are CCTV in the room where they count offering. You dare not. There will be 5 pastors there. You can't put 2 people there. Because 2 people can easily connive. So there will be like 5 people first. Then in addition to the 5 people, they will put CCTV. In a church one day, the man of God couldn't understand what is happening. He's seeing people drop offering. Offering basket is shaking. When they count offering later, offering will be scanty. He now took some foreign currencies, gave somebody to put in the offering basket. They now put dollars. When they came back, he was waiting for account. They gave account. There was no dollars there. Because the offering goes to 2 places. One goes to the altar. The other one goes to the helpers. So when a man is convicted from the crusade down, thank God, the Holy Ghost begins the second assignment, which is the transformational ministry. And transformation is not resolution. Lord, I've changed. No, you can't. Because it's a disease of the soul. It's intrinsic. Your decision, your willpower can affect it. Paul struggled like that. When a point came after many years, he said, oh wretched man that I am. He called his body a vile body of sin. There was a law set up in his soul that had enslaved him. The only way he can come out of that battle is when the ministry of the Holy Ghost is activated. And so he said, the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Romans chapter 8 verse 2. It is, the word is called eleutero, because transformation is not advice. Transformation is not a new decision. It's a power that is superior to the energy of flesh. It will break flesh and decimate it. That's why in Romans 8:13, it says, if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we, through the spirit, mortify the deed of the flesh, then we shall. It's only through the spirit that we live the life of God. That operation is called the transformational ministry of the Holy Ghost. And there are 5 cadres to that operation. The first is that the Holy Ghost awakens you to the life of God. Because you are used to the mundane life. You are regulated by your appetites. A child of one day already understands the language of hunger. The moment he's coming out of the womb, he's crying. Nobody taught the child that they eat through the mouth. The natural life also has a syllabus of training. It teaches you and eventually leads you to the path of iniquity. So when the Holy Ghost wants to transform you, the first thing he will do is that he will awaken you to another kind of life. That the life of the flesh is not the only life that exists. There is another life in the spirit. That awakening is the foundation of transformation. So in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17, it says, I pray to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ that he may grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The word enlightened is the word fortizo. It means the Holy Ghost sheds light upon your soul and you begin to see things from another perspective. A point comes, you want to steal money, but you now remember that the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. You want to steal, you now remember suddenly by revelation that life doesn't end in time. When I die, where's my soul going to? That kind of quickening is what the Holy Ghost does in the heart of the man that he begins to transform.
So a point comes, another consciousness is activated. That consciousness binds them to the will of the Father. If that activation does not take place, you can never enjoy transformation. This is why we bring men to the place of prayer. This is why we bring men to the ministry of the word. The goal is that as they are praying, or as the word is going forth, at some point, an encounter will be engendered. It's not about the word. It's not about the prayer. It's about the encounter that takes place within the spectrum of prayer and the word. Because when that doesn't happen, people can be praying, they'll be arrogant. They can be praying, they'll be thieves, rogues, and criminals. They can be quoting scripture and using the scriptures they are quoting to swindle money from you. Have you not seen men that travel abroad? They wear a long cross with the title of a bishop. But what they went to do is to stock cocaine in their intestine and bring back home to sell. Everybody that sees them, they say, bless you. That bless you is fake. Because in their stomach is stocked with cocaine. They are using the cross and God bless you to hide it. They are thieves in the garment of priests. So it's not about the prayer. It's not about the word. It's about the quickening that takes place. You are activated. The life of God shines on your soul. And you begin to see from another realm. I've seen people before. They pay for their transport fare to come to church and be blessed. When they came, they went with phones. When they see that phone, the next thing they will just hear, Barnex Plaza. And as they hear Barnex Plaza, they hear 60,000. They have estimated the worth of the phone. As they are hearing 60,000, at the same time, they are hearing about a club on Friday. So many protocols are going on in their heart. The reason is because the heart is darkened. The heart is darkened. They don't even think what happens to the person whose phone they are stealing. That one can occur. There is darkness there. That's why the Bible said in Ephesians 4:18, it said these ones, their minds are darkened. So they are alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 3 and 4, he said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel, which is the image of the invisible God, would have shone on their soul. When the Holy Ghost wants to transform a man, he awakens him to the life of God. Something else, another awareness, begins to flow through him. When that awakening takes place, he now activates the second protocol, which is to reveal to him the realities of the kingdom. Because he doesn't just awaken you. When he awakens you, he shows you that there are many things in that realm that should also be desired. It's not only earth that have palatable things. The spirit realm is more spectacular than the earth realm. When you have an encounter, you will discover that earth is noisy. When the heavens are open to you, you will know that there's nothing to be desired in earth. This is where certain men travel to in intimacy. They went so deep that he said, for me to die is gain. This nothing is here. That means that man has seen more reality. Paul said, is there anything wrong for me to lead on a damsel? He said, nothing is wrong. But he has seen some things that he knows that if he marries, it will be wickedness. Because he will not have time for the woman. His appetites and his emotion have been wooed by another realm. So in order not to frustrate a woman, he just leaves, he forgets about it. Now, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's based on what he has seen. Hope you know he's the one that said, I know a man many years ago. Whether he was in the body or in the spirit, I can't tell. But he was taken to the third heavens. He saw crowns of glory. That was why when he finished his race, he said, there remaineth for me a crown of life. That was the only thing he was pursuing. Because when he went to the realm celestial, the glory that he saw, he knew that there was nothing on it. So when God wants to transform a man, the second thing he does is to woo him through the realities of the kingdom. So in Ephesians 1:17, after he said the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened, he now said three things. He said that you may know the riches. There is a riches that is in the spirit. He said that you may know the hope of your calling. There is a hope that is in the spirit. And the third thing he said, the exceeding greatness of his power, the same power he wrought when he resurrected Jesus from the dead. That means through the realities of the spirit, a man can live the resurrected life in this body. It's possible to live like an invincible while you are walking on earth, because that power is part of the realities of the spirit. That was why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1, he said, we have a tabernacle in heaven.
This body is not the only tabernacle we have. He said there's another tabernacle in heaven. And he said we grow night and day that we may be clothed. Because when he saw the beings that were clothed in that tabernacle, they were glowing like Christ himself. It was one of such beings that John saw in Revelation 19 verse 10. When he saw him, he wanted to worship him. And he said, no, don't worship me. I'm one of your brethren. The only problem is that I've changed my own tabernacle. You are still wearing death. I've come into life. Paul had seen those things. When God wants to transform you, he shows you a measure of it. And when I was teaching last week, I told you, some of us, the week we gave our heart to Christ, we prayed for the dead. The dead came back to life. We now say, God, we are raisers of dead bodies. And we start our ministry, raising the dead in interdenominational ministry. After 2 months, the operation stopped. The reason is because you are being wooed. God is showing you that these things are there and it's for you. But if you want to walk in it, you must be transformed. When you try, it doesn't work. You will now start going to the mountain. The reason you are going to the mountain is not the love of God. You want the dead to be rising. And God will allow that lust. You will keep building on it and pressing into God. After 5 years, you will appear in a location. Your pursuit will now be God. You will forget that you are looking for raising the dead. Because the Holy Ghost was wooing you. This is why in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, he said, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. But he said, it's through the epignosis, the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue. He said, he has given us all of these things that we may become partakers of the divine, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There is something the Holy Ghost shows men that woos them. I don't know what you saw, but me, when I was 7 years old, I was singing a song with my mother outside in my native dialect, and suddenly, where we laid on the bench, I saw the cloud move. And when the cloud moved, I saw a man glowing like the sun. He sat on the throne, and I saw a woman presenting a child, and I tapped my mom. I said, look, look. Before she turned, it closed. For months, I could see things before they happened. The celestial superimposed into the natural. And I knew that there was a world beyond this world. That was why I began searching after God. Because God showed me something. And I told myself, I will not stop in time until I have touched the corridors of the immortals. Because there is something that is beyond money. There is something that can be refined in the spirit that is greater than the best gold you can find on earth. When Isaiah saw it, he knew that all his pursuit on earth was vain. That was why I say, cursed be me. I'm a man of unclean lips. Is there a realm like this? How come I've not sought after this realm? That was when Isaiah genuinely repented and the messianic prophecies began to come through Isaiah. Before then, he was talking about nations, talking about people. He didn't know that the weight of his prophetic call was to reveal a corridor in the spirit through which the Messiah will walk into time. He was pursuing mundane things. When they brought him to the realm of the seraphims and he saw the glory of that realm, he discovered anything you pursue in time is vanity. There's a realm beyond time. That thing drew him and something else was activated in his soul. So his journey became a journey of intimacy. And the more he drew closer to that glory, he will show up and say, a virgin shall give birth. Man couldn't understand it. How can a virgin give birth? A virgin shall give birth. He was seeing things that were deeper than time, because he had seen the realities of the realm. A virgin shall give birth. That was what Daniel knew. He was in Babylon. Babylon was a city of corruption, but you couldn't corrupt this man. He said, we will not define ourselves with the portion of the king's meat. We have seen things yonder. We have seen things. And they thought he was joking until the day the king heard. And suddenly a hand appeared and wrote. And when the hand wrote, they couldn't read it. And if you can't read it, you can't interpret it. But another thing that happened was that the writing came with an energy. The energy was judgmental. And so the king was shaking. And they said, what do we do? That was when the queen came out. He said, there's a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. He said, light and understanding is with this man. He has the power to explain hard sentences. And when they caught Daniel, Daniel came like one of the ancients. He didn't come like a man. I've seen something that drew me to a place beyond time. I've seen something beyond the skies. There's a realm hidden in the spirit. And when he showed up, he began to narrate the life of the king. He said, the God of heaven gave your father a kingdom that stretched from one end of the earth to another. He gave him a glory so boisterous, you decided to worship the God of iron and of stone. He said, therefore is this hand come. Mene, mene. Take care of seeing. Mene, mene. That he read it alone was a wonder to them. Because that language is not a language of men. How come you can read something that was written, sculpted in the utterance of the immortals? How did you read it? Who taught you this? There are other teachers in the spirit. The realities have been open to me. When God was wooing me, he showed me those writings. Because that was the same writing Moses met on the mountains of Sinai. When God wrote, he read it to them in human language. And when Moses was about to depart from earth, he said, I saw upon Mount Paran, the Holy One descending with 10,000 of his sons. He was talking about the battle of Armageddon. How can you read things that are beyond time? Because when God wants to transform a man, he woos him to the courts of heaven. So that he will see things that cannot be bought with money. That's why you see dead men walking on earth. Their pursuit is God. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. What language is that? You have seen beyond time. When God wants to transform you, he shows you these things. How many of you have seen things that is beyond what men show? I know you pursue diamond and gold. But did you read that the princes were created with jasper and sapphire? Kabunku, diamond, gold. That one being can wear a lot of jewelries. And is not putting it on his body. He is the expression of that jewelry. When he turns, you see a glory. When he turns, you see another glory. That in the spirit realm, they don't wear those things. It's their garment. While light is beaming, it's beaming through gold. It's beaming through diamond. Have you seen such realm? Where the road is gold. They don't use coal to make road. Have you seen such realm? I was in the spirit on the last day. And I heard a sound as of a trumpet. You see, as I turned, I saw seven candlesticks. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He said, they that love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. There is something bigger than everything the world can show. What you see in the world is the intelligence of fallen beings. Their ingenuity and wisdom is nothing compared to the wisdom of Elohim. He created the heavens. The glory is beyond what you can imagine. That's why I said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, he grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding may be fortified with light, that you may know the riches of our calling. There is something that man can buy. He said the power, the same that raised Jesus from the dead. And when the apostles followed transformation, they came to a point where the Bible said the shadow of Peter, the shadow could raise the sick. Peter became a spectacle in his generation. Handkerchiefs and aprons, said they were carried from the body of Paul. Those men became a wonder to their world because they allowed God to work on their soul. They were purged until their souls became corridors through which the invincible one could walk out. And many times when the God of wonder wants to appear, he looks for the corridors that have been refined. And so he comes out through them like a snail and he touches a generation. And you see power that you cannot explain. Let me start this Bible study again. We will go somewhere that I didn't plan to. Please sit down. Prophet J.T. Bakare is here with our mama, Prophetess Fanny, a woman of flames and fires. Good to see you, ma. You're welcome. And so when the Holy Ghost wants to transform you, he brings disclosures. Those disclosures allows you access to the spirit and you see the things that are eternal. But usually what he will do is that when you taste of it, he will now withdraw it.
Because what he wants to achieve is beyond you touching spiritual things and talking about them. Because the best thing God will do for you is for you to become a God. Because when he created you in his image and in his likeness. So he will withdraw those things you have tasted. And he will carry you on the corridor of transformation. So when you have seen those things and you begin to desire it, he now sends you to the scripture. He said, go and find it. Because the secret things belong to God. The things that are revealed, they belong to us and to our children. He says, the honor of the Lord to conceal a matter. He said, but the glory of the nobles is to search them out. So go and search it. Search it. He said, find, seek ye out of the book of the law and read. He said, none of these things shall fail. The mouth of the Lord, it has uttered it. His spirit has gathered it. You go and find it. When you are searching for those things, and your pursuit is the eternal things you saw, your goal will not be to quote scripture. You know the scripture is a gateway to accessing those things. And as you begin to excavate and explore the scripture, something will be unconsciously happening to your soul. It's the third protocol of transformation. It's the renewal of the mind. Because when you went into those scriptures at first, you wanted to touch something that the world will know that you have appeared. When you go there, God will now expose you to another syllable. That the Lord resists the proud. He giveth grace to the humble. You will now discover the only way to manifest is to become a nobody. Meanwhile, you were going for manifestation. So that when you show up, they will say the apostle have come. You will walk like this. He will now show you, so long as your shoulders are like this, you will never manifest. You didn't intend to see that in the scripture. You were looking for power to show. But you are so you that before the power, you must die. So the scriptures will begin to re-educate you and renew your mind. As your mind is being renewed, the way you will know is that you will no longer conform to this world. The desires for earthly things, worldly things will begin to die. As those desires are dying, transformation is taking place. So instead of you to be on Big Brother Niger for 3 months, you are rather exploring the book of Leviticus. But a man who still loves the world, there's no renewal here. He can come to church every day. He's a hypocrite. If transformation begins to take place by the word, which is the third thing the Holy Ghost does in the corridor of transformation, the man will stop conforming to the word. The word will begin to renew his mind. And as the word renews his mind, then he will open himself to God and say, Lord, whatever you want to do, I'm ready. That is when the Holy Ghost will come with chisels and daggers. Because you can know about pride, but you are not yet ready. When your mind is transformed, you will now tell the Lord, whatever you want, I surrender. Because God can't walk until you are sleeping. You have to yield yourself completely. When you yield yourself, then you will see equipment, spiritual equipment. There are some equipment that if they use it on your tongue, you will start lying. They will cut things. Is the transformational ministry of the Holy Ghost. It begins with what? An awakening to the life of God. Then, revelation of spiritual realities. Then, renewal of the mind. Then, sanctification. That's when God purges you. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, he said, the God, our God, will appear in his temple as a refiner's fire. And he will thoroughly purge the sons of Levi that they may bring an acceptable worship to God. That purging is not easy. That's what we call the work of obedience. Because when the Holy Ghost wants to renew your mind, he uses scriptures. But when he wants to sanctify you, he sends you into paths where you can be cut off. It's a pathway of obedience. It's a narrow path. You can come for a service. You are sensing the power of God. All that remains is to say touch. And then he tells you, today is not power. You will die. You will do like this. You will go back home and weep. You know why? Most times, the day he will tell you to do that is the day that those who are your critics will sit down to say, let's see what this guy has. You want to show yourself. He said, no, it's not power. Sing and go home. Obedience is death. But that's how God sanctifies. When he begins to bring those contrary laws and you obey them, after a while, those sensors will begin to die on your inside because you are starving them. As you starve them, and the Holy Ghost insists, he begins to cut them off your soul.
A point comes when if you show for a service, it's no longer a show. You are dead. Sometimes the instruction will be empty your account. Ah, I won't try that. There's a car that I've told everybody I will buy. This car must come this month. If I don't buy it, what would they say? Empty your account. It's not about the church. Sometimes he won't even say take it to church, take it to an orphanage. And then you will struggle. And it's not like he say, if you give, I will give you the car. There's no car in view. They are cutting off your flesh. It's circumcision of the heart. You will empty the account. You want to go and talk about it so that the people will know that it's not like the money was not there. You had the money, but God gave you an instruction. He will say, keep quiet. You don't have any point to prove. You will die. But as you are dying in that fire, something is happening. He's purging you. He's purging you. A day will come, a version of you that will show up will be meekness. And when you stand, you will not talk. Men will know that this is a man of God. Because a man of God is not a preacher. A man of God is one that came from God. He's hewn out of God. God is the substance of his being. Our world is carnal and callous because men have not known the transformational ministry of the Holy Ghost. We still come to church and do religious things. Transformation have not begun. When transformation begins, your path will be narrow. In fact, you will now become careful. Before you do anything, you ask him. Because you now know that sometimes when you are succeeding in what you are doing, that's when he shows up and says, I didn't send you. And the last two times he did it, you died. Now, because you don't want those surgeries again, you will be careful. You will start walking circumspectly. Before you do anything, you ask him, Lord, is this what you want? If he doesn't answer, you keep quiet. When he answers, even if it's after 1 year, that's the right time. That's when you will do it. Because you know that if you don't, he will show you the way of the fire. At this level, God doesn't consult you. He commands you. He forces you. The Bible says in Mark chapter 1 verse 12, after Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, this is my beloved son. The whole world said, ah, this is the Messiah. He has come. And Jesus was supposed to now walk into the temple and say, the person you are waiting for is here. He said, the Spirit drove him to the wilderness. Not to be blessed, to be tempted of the devil. And the Bible said, the devil buffeted him for 40 days and 40 nights. And in those 40 days and 40 nights, he was without food and water. But God was doing something. God was doing something. Because this is the pattern man. He needed to use him to teach us how the corridor of the Spirit looks like. That something must happen to you. There's a fire you will go through. So that you are refined to bring an acceptable worship to God. There are many people, they dodged the fire. They were smart. God came, they did leg over. And you will be in one place for 10 years. When you are there for a long time, they will go back and find him and say, whatever you want, I'm ready now. And may God help you to discover it when you are young. The fire of the Spirit. Sometimes when we talk like this, it looks as if we are being too hard. It looks as if we are being unnecessarily harsh. Some people will even say, you, are you holy? Are you trying to say you are holy? I'm a messenger. I'm a messenger. I'm sorry if you are offended. But I will say it the more. Somebody said, at least be considerate. They pamper people into debt. That's why iniquity have become the order of the day. People fornicate. Pastor tried to manage it. It's a psychological thing because of the image of the church. When Peter behaved hypocritically, Paul rebuked him. This is the ecclesia. This is a government. We are not here to please men. We are here to represent a kingdom that by all means, the dimensions of that kingdom, we colonize our world. It's a realm of laws. The spirits involved are legalists.
Who told you they have time for emotions? Come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. He said, they that bear the vessels of God, they must be clean. When has it become normal for people to live immorally? A global gospel leader will kiss a lady and put it online as pre-wedding picture. And people are clapping. Wow, this is beautiful. A dying world. Because the Holy Ghost has been exonerated from the equation. If God is helping you, He will carry you through many corridors of obedience. When you are going through, it will be difficult. But thank your God that you are there. It means you are at the fourth level of transformation. Because not many people can obey God that far. It looks as if you are mad. He's chiseling you. And then the 15th in the ministry of transformation of the Holy Ghost is what we call mortification. In mortification, you have learned this thing well enough. So the Holy Ghost can entrust you to yield to Him to deaden your body. In Romans chapter 8 verse 13, it says, He that walks after the flesh shall die. It says, but if we through the Spirit, now it's not the Holy Ghost coming to force it. In sanctification, the Holy Ghost commands you. But after you have mastered it, in mortification, He entrusts you to begin to deaden the flesh. He says, if we through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the flesh, then we shall live. This time around, they are deeds. So when pride is coming, you know what to do. You go and hide yourself. They are calling you to give you honor and glory. You say, no, I don't want. They say, why? You have labored. Your sacrifice, you warrant it. I know I have a lot of sacrifice. But now pride is fighting me. If I collect that, it will only fertilize it. So you will reject it. People will say, this one too much. It's not too much. You are mature. You are mortifying the deeds of the flesh. Have you not seen great people before? They come for a meeting, they stay at the back. Kill them, they won't come to the front. It's not because there's anything wrong in honoring them. That season, there is something happening. They have sensed the ugly head of pride. They are cutting it off. So when you want to honor them, they refuse. Many times, you see them get involved in simple things. They are checking their spirit. They are checking their soul. In those seasons, sometimes people disrespect you. It's not an issue. Some things are coming out. You are sensing signals that shouldn't come. You are killing them. It's a sign of maturity. You have known the ministry of the Holy Ghost. You have known it. Sometimes a season comes in your life, you don't buy anything good for yourself. Because you know you are becoming materialistic. Ah! You are more conscious of the suit alignment than your soul alignment. And you are going to preach. You now know that, Kai, there's error. You will maintain one fabric for 8 months, for 1 year. People will look at you and say, I want to sew a suit or a seed or suit. When they sow it, you give to somebody else. Because you are becoming materialistic. You empty yourself. You stop wearing watch and ring. They will say, why? Is there anything? It's not a doctrine. If you preach it as a doctrine, there is error. But this is the pathway of mortification. The pathway of sanctification is obedience. But the pathway of mortification is self-denial. Self-denial. You deny yourself of those things so that the flesh can be put in check. That's what Daniel said in Daniel 1:8. He said, we will not defy ourselves by eating of the portion that belongs to the king. Give us vegetable. It's enough for us. It's called the transformational ministry of the Holy Ghost. If you don't pass through this ministry, you are not qualified for any other ministry of the Holy Ghost. Some people want to jump the transformational ministry of the Holy Ghost and enter the empowerment ministry so that they will lavish it on their lost. James said no. He said, you pray and you don't receive answers because you pray amiss. You pray to lavish it on your lost. That's why God will not answer. Before the empowerment ministry, there's got to be the transformational ministry. You see somebody, he sits down, 10,000 people gather around him. He's not billboard. He's not a publicity stunt. It's entrustment. There's an empowerment level that compels the city to go hear him. He said John was in the wilderness. He said the whole of Jerusalem and Judea went to him. No publicity, but every time he cried, the city reverberated. If you like, preach his message. Change your tune to be like his tune. It's not the voice that brings the man. There's a signature on that voice that this one has passed the test of transformation, so we can entrust unto him the powers of God. That's why after Jesus was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible said in Luke chapter 4 verse 14, it said he returned in the power of the Spirit and his fame went abroad. The empowerment ministry of the Holy Ghost precedes the transformational ministry. Without the transformational ministry, there can be no empowerment ministry. Jesus was in the same city for 30 years. But after transformation was complete, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 14 and 15, he said, as it was written by Isaiah the prophet, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentile, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. What was he before he came down? Does it mean he was not light? The authority to shine was not granted. He said, they that sat in the regions of death had seen a great light. Was he not going to the tabernacle before? What was the difference? Empowerment had not yet come. Empowerment comes only when transformation is achieved. When you dodge transformation, you deny yourself of power. When you dodge process, you deny yourself of power. Forget this garbage of running to meet a minister on crusade ground and touching his shirt and tearing his button. You are joking. Who told you a cripple will walk because you took button from somebody's shirt? Who would have distributed the buttons around the nation? God sees it as hunger. God sees it as an act of faith. But at best, he will encourage you with some things for a season. For you to command the powers that be, you must go through the valley of the shadow of death. Because the cup that runneth over, it comes after you have walked through the valley of the shadow of death. The empowerment ministry of the Holy Ghost. This is why we are talking, nothing is happening. We apply the principles of scripture. We call people for prayer, for vigil. 90 days vigil, non-stop. Meanwhile, even this our prayer, we are trying to make a statement on Facebook. The very prayer is a testimony of depravity of the soul, because you want validation from the internet. What happened to the prayer behind closed doors? That every prayer now is YouTube and Facebook prayer. Somebody is standing. The moment camera is coming, the princes won't come to town. They know this one is not. They are playing. They are playing. It's jamboree. I'm not saying there's anything wrong. We put prayers online to encourage others to pray. But I'm saying in the action is a checker for the motivation. When empowerment have not come, everything we do is joke. We gather. He said, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am. He said, whatever they bind on earth is bound in heaven. We have been binding from January. How come we can't see the result? Because transformation was truncated. We want to apply principles and get results. Those results are for those that have in their body the marks of Christ. We dodge process, and then you pay money. You go and sit in one prophet's house for 3 weeks so that he will see that you have hunger. You have hunger. And then he will lay hands on you. Before you make that journey, make sure you have passed the test of obedience so that you don't waste your money and your time. Because the empowerment comes after the transformation. When the empowerment begins, three things happen. Number one, it validates everything we claim. Because without the empowerment ministry of the Holy Spirit, even if the scripture wrote it, we can never prove it. So the empowerment ministry of the Holy Spirit comes to validate the claims of the believer. That means the empowerment ministry of the Holy Ghost is what makes you a witness. You are not a witness because you are preaching it. You are a witness because there is a force that validates your claim. If you claim that Jesus raises the dead, then when you say it, the dead must come back to life.
If you claim that Jesus heals the sick, when you say it, the sick must be healed. Because it is not truth until it is validated. So the Holy Ghost came as a validator of our claims. Therefore, we cease being preachers, we become witnesses. We witness through preaching, we witness through teaching, we witness through singing. But we are not singers, we are not teachers, we are not preachers. We are witnesses using different tributaries to bring about witness. Because everything we say is validated. And the reason it's validated is because there's an empowerment ministry of the Holy Ghost at work that makes true the things we say. In Luke 24:49, it said, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. I know you have followed me for 3 years, but tarry. If you are not endued with power, you will go out and you will be a liar, even though what you are saying is true. You can be saying the truth, but you are a liar because there's no validation. Somebody came to Maron Branham's meeting. He was not sick. They said, what this man is doing is fake. So he arranged with a journalist and came to Maron Branham's meeting. You know, for we who are apostles, if I pray for the sick, the testimony is based on what you say. So you can't blame me. If you say you are healed, I will thank God. You said you are healed. But a prophet is not just saying you are healed. He looks at you and says you have been healed of cancer. That means if you testify, they have to check to be sure that it's not make-believe. So the healing by prophecy is more treacherous than... So usually you will stand, Maron Branham will say you have cancer of the breast. This, you have been healed. So they came with journalists. And the guy came out and said he's been healed of cancer. And Maron Branham wanted to say, oh, let's give God praise. As he lifted his hand, he now said, no, you don't have cancer. The guy said, I have cancer. Well, what they planned was that when they celebrated, then the journalists will gush out and say, we knew this was fake. I never had cancer. This is medical report. These things are all arranged. He said, you don't have cancer. The guy said, I had cancer. He said, you don't have cancer. When the guy argued, he now said, okay, since you desire cancer, because the power is not only there to take, since you desire cancer, now go with cancer. The Holy Ghost is the validator of our claims. Without him, everything we say can be proved. In Mark 16 verse 20, he said they went out preaching the word and the Lord. Now when he says the Lord now, he's talking about the pneumatic Christ, because the Lord is in heaven. The Lord walking with us now is the Spirit. He said now the Spirit is, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So when he said the Lord, he was actually talking about the Holy Ghost. He said the Holy Ghost walking with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders following. So the confirmation is the empowerment ministry of the Holy Ghost. In Acts 14 verse 3, he said, long time abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, and the Lord confirming the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hand. Many people don't go to the Holy Ghost for empowerment. They jump out. Sir, you are taking a risk. When you want to go out, you need empowerment. Doug Howard Mills said, he invited Yonggi Cho. And these were his words. Yonggi Cho is a man that can organize prayer meeting on Sunday morning and more than 100,000 people will attend. Try it. If you are up to 50, then you had an encounter. And he's talking about South Korea. Not a city, a civil service. South Korea, where everybody is hustling. This is an economic nation. He invited him for a crusade in Ghana, where the people that come for his Monday morning prayer is more than the people that will attend the crusade. Do you get the point? The people that come for his prayer meeting is more than the people that will come for the crusade. He said, but why he took the man and they were going to the crusade ground, the man didn't even remember he was there. Oh, Holy Spirit, help me. Oh, Holy Spirit. Oh, what are you afraid of? You address 700,000 people every week. This crusade, maybe there are 10,000 people there. It's not even up to your congregation.
Why are you so afraid? And you are calling the Holy Ghost. It's not fear. He knows that every second where there is wonder is because the Holy Ghost is at work. That's why the apostles prayed in Acts chapter 4 from verse 30. They said that you may stretch forth your hands, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy Holy Child. And the Bible said the place where they were was shaking, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost again, and they preached with boldness. And in verse 33, he said, with great power, gave witness to the apostles of the resurrection. Great grace was upon them. The patriarchs know this. The young believer is going for crusade. He's relying on utterance. When you finish quoting 30 scriptures, the cancer will remain. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. And when he showed up, my God, they saw wonder that was without number. Because they know experience is not the power. You may have raised the dead yesterday. You need the Holy Ghost today to raise the dead. The blind may have seen yesterday. You need the Holy Ghost today to raise the blind, to open the blind eyes. We just came back from a crusade in Obolu. My God, I felt energized. And I was going for the crusade. I said, this city is about to be torn apart for Jesus. I was coming to hunt demons. When I was going, the demons went ahead of me. My flight was for 11. They shifted it to 1. When I, you know, they can't affect you. So what we do is actually, we prophesy over circumstances too. Because demons don't only possess men, they possess circumstances. I came to the airport. When we sat down, this is the airline, I don't want to call any airline to indict them, that never fails. In fact, if you come 30 minutes before the time, you're already late. I showed up, they delayed flight to 3 o'clock for no reason. When we eventually boarded, they said, sorry, there was operational reasons. You know, when they say operational, you are, will you argue with operational reasons? If engine fail, you be ready to fly. We eventually landed in Enugu by 4. We drove into the town to 6. There was no time to talk to the Lord or anything. I put on my white suit. It's a signature of power. I entered the crusade. When I landed, protocol here, they were rushing. The man has come. I mounted the stage. I began to teach on the God of wonders. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He existed before time. And if he existed before time, anything that came into your life came late. He can change all things, my God. When I finished vocalizing, I declared over the sick. The few people that came out, this one said pain on the back. This one said pain. I say, what? Pain? Is it pain? We traveled all the way from Abuja. If it's pain, why wouldn't they take paracetamol? I say, okay, no challenge. It's because I didn't have time to prepare my spirit. Tomorrow they will see something. In the morning, we gathered. We prayed till 12. When we finished, we dispatched them. I was in the spirit. I said, no, today's message, something will happen. While I went to shower, the Holy Ghost showed up and told me, he said, their sorrows shall be multiplied. They are hasting after another God. Your goal is not to go and preach faith. I came here to judge their heart and to judge idols. Don't go and encourage them to receive healing. You can serve the God of wonders from now till tomorrow. Nothing will happen. I didn't know what he was saying. I put another white suit. Because you carry many. When I landed, this time, the white suit was Benny Hinn's type. The first white suit was double-breasted. That's the rod of Pastor Chris. That one didn't work. I entered the sword of Benny Hinn. I showed up. Belekode, a full attack abatwa. I blasted. What I did was that I just quoted the scripture. Let it be that I said what I heard. I finished. I cursed infirmity. When I finished cursing, the testimonies of the second night were more scanty than the first night. Even the souls that were won on the second night were less.
What is going on here? Even if healings won't take place, who shows we want? I knew there was a problem. I now left my message, left my utterance, left everything. I started beseeching the Holy Ghost. But in order to keep things in place, my mind too was racing. And I said, okay, this is a business environment. Because it's a business environment, most people here usually will not be sick because they are hustlers. You can't be sick and be in a business environment and be hustling. When I finished explaining it and calming myself down, the Holy Ghost said the sick came. It's not like they were not there, they were around. I began to check my spirit. I now began to rely on the Holy Ghost. So what do we do? What do we do? He now said, I said, their sorrows shall be multiplied. They are hasting after another God. Ah, what are you saying? I didn't send you to preach positivity here. Because the more you do it, the more you validate their appetite. These people are coming to seek God for what he has. They don't need God. And you are coming to validate that position. So you are making them more godless. Ah! I went back and excavated my scripture on hellfire. I searched my message. I went to my Chronicles. Searched the message on Hades. When I came up, the first scripture, Psalm 16 verse 4. Their sorrows shall be multiplied. The hasting after another God. When I was talking, an akazo came on board. That was the first power. They were literally being drawn. When I finished, almost everybody on the crusade ground came out. I told them, you know, when God is in charge, you don't need to do anything again. Just manifest. I said, go and write your name down first. We'll pray for you. The whole atmosphere looked as if it died down. When they finished, they came back. When they came back, I said, now the fire is about to rest. My God, I was in charge. Because when the Holy Ghost goes ahead, you are already empowered. It's not a feeling. It's to understand the protocol. The Holy Ghost is the power. He's the force behind the action. And the moment that happened, I said, now, Lord, this is the hour. The fire rest. Before I spoke, somebody was knocked down behind. I said, it is moving. The place scattered. While the power was still moving, I stood. I saw the light at the back. And the light turned into a sword. And went straight to somebody. And pierced him. And I saw on the sword, what was the, help me, pile. I said, somebody standing by the light at the back there. You have just been healed of pile. Wow. The guy ran out. As I was calling that, right in front on the first row, I said, towards my left here, you are there. I saw your scrotal sac enlarged. God just touched you. The guy ran out. Before I finished talking, the Holy Ghost started walking. You know, Jesus said, the words I speak is the Father that dwell in me, that dwell there. The words were flowing. As we were talking, they were running out. I said, Jesus, my goodness. Before you know, a woman, fibroid, 22 years. She said she was checking. She couldn't find it. The next person came up, left ear, deaf, 12 years. Stone deaf. Because she gave birth and the ear went off. Pop, God had taught things scattered everywhere. What is the meaning of this? The empowerment has come. If you violate him, you will struggle. That's why he said, you have followed me. You have learned the principle. He said, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. The Holy Ghost is the validator. That is why without him, we are not witnesses. Without him, we are talkers. What distinguishes us from lecturers is the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. And for you to be empowered, you have to tarry until he comes. That's why I said they that dwell in the secret place of the Most High, they abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We are in a racing world. So you think you can just run with God and say, Lord, do take your glory. You are joking. You are joking. Many times you will sit there. You will tarry there until the waters are stirred. We can't wait. Too many people are in a rush. They come with grammar. They come with scriptures. They come with capital letter tongues. When you finish speaking in tongues, they will call you a scam. Because you couldn't wait for the one that glorifies Jesus. If it doesn't come, nothing works. So you have to wait. The Bible said David never lost a battle. He fought 44 battles. Never lost one. Why? Before the man goes to war,
He doesn't rely on the experience. I won one yesterday. I won one the day before. No. He consults with the Urim and the Thummim. And he said, when you see the mulberry tree move, I have gone ahead of you. If David moves that time, even if he stones, he carries, he will win. Believers are running ahead of God because they think it's a joke. Who told you cancer of 10 years can vanish just because you spoke good English? Who told you a fornicator who fornicates to survive? Do you know the appetite that sponsors it? From the first time that person tasted of sex, information were already sent to the brain. There is a psychological aspect. There is a biochemical aspect. There is a neurological aspect coupled with the demons involved. Even if the demon is cast out, there has to be a power that reprograms the neurology, that reinstructs the neurons. Neurotransmitters have to be corrected. Because that guy, if he sees a lady that has a kind of complexion, the neurotransmitters are working. You think by just speaking an English, good English, you can break those powers. It is the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead that has the power to invade the cell structure and reprogram and re-engineer that person. That's why we don't move until he moves. Even God waits for the Holy Ghost to move. He said the spirit moved upon the face of the deep before God said, let there be light. The spirit has not moved. You are talking. You are joking. We are weak without the Holy Ghost. Our God dimension is the Holy Ghost that animates it. That's why we tarry. That's why we wait. That by all means, the sequence of life will be activated. The first thing that empowerment ministry does is to make you a witness. You have been speaking things, they've not come to pass. I tell you the reason tonight. The Holy Ghost is not working. You are the one working. That's why you sweat, nothing happens. When the Holy Ghost begins to work, you can now glorify God. The second operation of the empowerment ministry of the Holy Ghost is to prosper you in kingdom engagement. Have you seen people who died of high BP serving God? They are the ones laboring with the design of the flyer. They are the ones calling the people, printing it. They are the ones following up for it to be distributed. They can't rest. Because you can't prosper in kingdom enterprise until the Holy Ghost goes ahead of you. I told you my story. When God says to come to Abuja, before he gave me the instruction, he led me. Do I use the word lured me now? Because if I knew, I would have done some savings. He led me to scatter all my seed. And then he gave me instruction, come to Abuja. Where? You are not sending me to Gombe. Where all I need is to come and start praying for people to gather. Do you know what Abuja is like? Where everybody is pursuing survivor. How can you tell me to come here now? You want to rent a hall. Sometimes they tell you 1 million per use. 1 million naira per... What is that? Up on the inaugural service, we were trying to say, okay, wait. I say, I will pay. Relax. Until that morning, I was invited to minister somewhere. I came and preached. The people couldn't sit down. One person gave me a check of 1 million. He said, I've not heard it like this before. Before I knew what was happening, God's servant stood up and said, let's give an offering. I left there with 14 million. What's going on here? Before I knew what was happening, we said, oh, we are looking for a way to get network. The person they hired to set up the network said, leave it. When we have the time, we will. The guy traveled to Lagos. He couldn't sleep. He rose this way. What do I do? He started calling. He came back and said, no, I will install it for free. I will install it. I let me go and sleep. I can't sleep. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, then the wilderness can become a fruitful field. And the fruitful field can become a forest. That's why Jesus didn't run into the city. The Bible said he was endued with power from on high. He said he returned
Luke 4:14. In the power of the Spirit, it was the Spirit that spread his fame abroad. It was not billboard. The Spirit spread his fame abroad. Everybody began to talk about Jesus of Nazareth. When you read the synoptic gospel, many times you will hear, and they said, it's not his disciples that spread his name. There were some people that the Holy Ghost inspired. They will say, have you heard of this man? Have you heard of this? They will not rest. You cannot prosper in kingdom enterprise until the empowerment ministry of the Holy Ghost is activated. Many people are dying trying to please God or trying to do the work of God. Sir, rest. For those of you who work in the power ministry, you know how it works. If you want to use your faith all the time to pray for the sick, you know sometimes you struggle. But when God begins to give word of knowledge, pam, somebody is here, left ear. As you are saying it, the ear is open. You don't need to shout. Pap, somebody is here, fibroid is gone. If the Spirit utters, it is done. The same way you operate in word of knowledge in a service, that's how you operate kingdom business. You rest in his presence. If it, the time comes, he tells you, call this person. And you call the person, you are talking. One thing leads to the other. You say, we are trying to do this. Really? Something happened. A call is made to another person. Another person makes a call to another person. You are sitting where you are sitting. Things are working. So for you to activate the dimension of the empowerment that prospers you is to rest in the presence. We have no culture of resting. We are in anxiety trying to make things work. That's why nothing works. The Bible said a great while in the morning. Mark 1:35. Jesus went to a solitary place. There he prayed. He just stays with the Father. And when he's done waiting, the Father tells him, go to the market first.
Rest, rest.
My brother, rest.
It's a burden.
Victor has a heart for the kingdom. Nothing can go wrong. If you're around him, be careful. Make sure everything is working right. Go to the market. And he comes down from the mountain. He goes to the market. He opens blind eye. You now say, okay, when you start ministry, start from the market. You will die. Because the next day, as he comes down, he goes straight to the synagogue. Another time, as he comes down, he finishes a crusade. Where you think he should rest, he is going back to seek the Holy Ghost. Because if he misses him for a second, he's in trouble. And Jesus will finish a mighty power meeting that you think he should go and rest. He said, let's cross over to the other side. And as he's crossing over, he will judge the God of the sea. And then he will go and heal the Gadarene maniac and come back immediately. Because it's the Spirit that calls the shots. Stop relying on your brain. It's too small for kingdom business. Stop relying on your intelligence. I know you studied aeronautic engineering. I know you are a barrister. I know you studied medicine and surgery. And in medicine, you studied the heart. You studied the brain. There are only 5 of you in Nigeria. God bless you. But if it's kingdom, your brain is too tiny. He says it's not given to man that walketh to order his step. Before you step out of the house, wait. Wait. When the instructions come, you become invincible. It's called the empowerment ministry of the Holy Ghost. The first one is by baptism. The second one is by waiting for the instructions to come. You wait for the instructions to come. This is why many are struggling. And they are struggling for God. It ought not to be so. The third thing this empowerment ministry does for you is that it causes you to prevail against contrary forces. Because this kingdom business, they are opposition. Don't think preaching is English language, or giving is charity. Giving is beyond charity. If you are not empowered, if the devil sees that you want to give, he will cripple your finances. Because he knows that your money is causing havoc in the demonic realm. So as you start giving, say, Kai, I know some people that have built 10 churches. The devil now come. He will fight their finances. Because he knows the money of this man is not going to erecting clubs and beer palace. His church is building. So if we don't cripple his finances, we cannot survive. So giving is not charity. It's warfare. Preaching is not intelligence. It's warfare. They are contrary forces. This is why the Holy Ghost comes to empower you. So that when the contrary forces come, they will count for nothing. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing philanthropy, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Have you not seen people before? The day they gave 1 million, that's the last day they gave. Because the Holy Ghost will come and tell them, you have been brainwashed. And they will now regret for 10 years why they gave that money. It would have been better they never gave. But the Holy Ghost saw a tendency and a potential. And so he started fighting them. Nothing you do in this kingdom is without warfare. That's why you need to have the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. Because when the princes see you, they will come for you. Meanwhile, you cannot but do good. He said, be steadfast. Always abounding in good works. The reason is because your reward in eternity is not based on your salvation. Your reward in eternity is based on your service to God. That's why you cannot but do good. And if the devil will fight you for doing good, then you need to be empowered so that the battle of the devil will count for nothing. Hope we are rested now. Praise God. Are you learning something? In Acts 4:31 and 33, the Bible said that with great power, he gave witness to the resurrection of Jesus. Great grace was upon them. And in verse 34, the Bible said, they that were possessors of lands sold them and brought the money to the apostles' feet. And he said, distributions were made and there was none among them that lacked. Now, this prosperity came after they were beaten and warned never to preach in the name of God. But when the empowerment came, it turned the actions of the adversary to nothing. The reason we cry for empowerment is because we know that when we go out there are many wolves. But when we are empowered, what the devil meant for evil will become the very platform that glorifies God. So when the devil wants to truncate what God is doing, that thing turns around to become a testimony. I heard about Benson Idahosa. The first time a crusade was organized in Nigeria that sat 1 million people, the president said, nobody should organize an outdoor meeting. He looked like an adversary. But the man went back to God. And the Holy Ghost said, go forward. And he did not just go forward. He brought Reinhard Bonnke. And when they organized the crusade, 1 million people gathered. And there was nothing the government can do. Because a man of power had shown up. I heard Bishop Dahawad Mills told the story of Reinhard Bonnke. He organized a crusade in Nigeria. And when they were done winning millions of souls, he said he was in the hotel room. Abacha came and knocked that night and gave him a seed. You are advancing kingdom. The one that should be your enemy is now coming to give you a seed. Because when the ways of a man pleases God, he commands his enemies to be at peace with him. There is something the Holy Ghost does that makes your enemies becomes the ones that facilitate what God wants to do with you. Have you not been there before? You are struggling with influence and publicity, and suddenly the devil tells people to speak against you. And the Holy Ghost allows that thing to prosper. And when it prospered, everybody that heard about you and came to confirm the story begins to have encounter. So the devil used what should have been for evil to become your good. It's the empowerment ministry of the Holy Ghost. He makes a man invincible. Somebody gave me a testimony last week. A trained engineer, master's degree in IT, and then he was recruited as an IT personnel. Served in the civil service for many years. All his mates have been raised. They've gone up to the second, third cadre in the national office. He has remained where he was when they employed him. And some of his mates that are now bosses tried to frustrate him until power came on him. The first day I met him, I heard him. He couldn't stand. He didn't know what was happening to him. He sat down. Ah, what's happening here? He's not a very emotional person. What's going on? He stood up like a man. Come on, what is happening here? He took some steps. What is that? They heard him. He sat down here at 11 p.m. Even at 11, he had not gathered himself. They had to help him home. He was coming. Another day, I walked up to him and released impartation. 2 weeks later, what he was fighting for years, they did not just convert him. They made him the second in command in the office. He became directly above the person tormenting him. When the power of the Holy Ghost is released, allow your enemies to fight. They become part of your arsenals. The things you could not do consciously, they will help you do it unconsciously. And when they are done fighting, they will now remember that there is a law in the spirit. All things worketh together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. When the Holy Ghost empowers a man, his adversaries become his helpers. They have no choice. Time is fighting me now. The fourth thing that happens to a man when the empowerment ministry of the Holy Ghost is at work is that God causes him to prosper. Sir, it's not only the work of God that prospers. The worker of God also prospers. Some people assume that if you are working for God, you should be a pauper. And they consider being a pauper as humility. That is a wickedness from the pit of hell. The worldly man should prosper. You who is doing the main work of the kingdom, they want you to be helpless. So every time you come up, you wear one big trouser with sandal. And then you're talking with one shirt that you have used for 4 years. Your belt, part of the skin has peeled off. And then you stand and say, if God have touched your heart, please, if you love the work of God. Meanwhile, before you make this announcement, you will have to fast for 7 days first that you may find favor with the people. And then you will come with sandal. Your sandal, there will be hole under. And then when you stand, it will show that car, you are hungry. They're out of pity and sympathy. They will come and drop their change. And then you say, thank you. God increase you. God bless you. Next week again, you come. You will call somebody and say, there's no food in the house, but we are trusting God. When you are like that, they say, this is the real man of God. When you are doing well, they say they are thieves. Your brain, there is something wrong with your brain. You need help. I have not called the seed of Jacob to seek me in vain. It said Christ, rich as he was, became poor that you may become rich. He said, tell them that are rich in this world to be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God that giveth to every man liberally that he should enjoy. Who told you God will bless the man who is not serving him and forget about the one who is serving him? Which company do you know that does not have a welfare package? So the worldly companies are more considerate than God. You are working in Chevron. Part of your welfare package is a Range Rover Jeep. Because Chevron is more compassionate and reasonable than God. And then God will forget the pastor. He should die of hunger as a sign that he's an accurate preacher. It's the wickedness of the world. And Christians don't know this. They will join worldly people and be fighting. It's not pastors they are fighting. It's not Christians they are fighting. What they don't know is that it's a demonic strategy. When you paint pastors, ministers, and every spiritual person dark, a day will come, the world will reject them. Now, when the world rejects them, the next generation will not know about God. And so it's a subtle strategy of making a society become godless. That's why you go to the Western world today, they fought ministers because they thought it was a sin for them to prosper. When they fought ministers and society relegated them, a generation was born that doesn't see need to serve God, because ministers were no longer role models. Ministers were already blacklisted, so they were not part of society. Now that the pastors and the ministers have been taken out of the scene, they now send their own ministers. And their own ministers come with reality TVs. Their own ministers come with talk shows. Their own ministers come, and somebody will come and stand. I saw someone was asking Steve Harvey and say, I want to get married, but I don't want to live in the same house with my husband. I want to, we'll meet ourselves when we want. A godless society. The other one stood up and said, I started medicine, but you know, I didn't like it anymore. It wasn't working. So what did you do? I became a stripper. And then they are encouraging people. When you speak, they say, tolerance, tolerance. They are substituting righteousness for tolerance, because the pastors have been changed. The servants of God were condemned and taken from the scene, and the servants of the devil came to the scene. So they now sit down, and you come and they do comedy for the whole night. No prayer, no fasting, no revival. It's now comedy. And then you have table for four, table for ten. On table for four, one seat is 4 million, no problem. The same money you fought, now no challenge. And those gatherings become a place where all kinds of immoral spirits converge. And then godly people who know nothing about kingdom will come, and they say they're attacking pastors. Pastors should be poor. Why are you having so much money? Your country is paying you well. Who told you the country will come from in heaven does not have? When the Holy Ghost empowers you, sir, you will prosper. Promotion does not come from the west. It does not come from the south. It cometh from the Lord. God is also in the business of lifting men. He said he lifted the beggar from the dunghill. He causes him to stand among princes and to inherit thrones. Thou shalt remember the Lord your God. It is him that giveth thee power to get wealth, to establish his kingdom unto this day. If we are millionaires, we will sponsor kingdom. They know that's why they don't want us to be millionaires. The crusade we went for in Obola for 3 days, we spent 4.8 million. The stage, the light, and the sound alone, 3 days, was 2.5 million. We didn't go there because we spoke in tongues. We went there because we have millions in our account. And the devil will want us to be poor and put that money in another person who will go and build a club. Do you think I don't know how to do investment? That I will go and throw 4 point something million away. The souls that were won, are they my family members? The people that were healed, did they tell you my sister was there? But I'm a kingdom agent. When God puts money in my hand, I'm a steward. And the devil knows. So he fights those who should sponsor the kingdom. When you talk about money, they say it's wrong. I preached one message on finances 2 weeks ago. They went and cut the part where I say people should work hard, and made it go viral. That this is a true man of God, because I spoke about hard work. They didn't know that in the same scripture I spoke about giving. Who told you I came to fight preachers? Because that one appealed to their appetite. The message they are sending is that preachers are extorting people. So they think this is one preacher who is fighting other preachers. I looked at them and laughed. That's why they didn't put the link. They didn't put the clip on my page. We are not trying to be viral. We are making impact. I have not called the seed of Jacob to seek me in vain. The third ministry of the Holy Ghost is the empowerment ministry. The first is what? The convicting ministry. The second is what? The transformational ministry. The third is what? The empowerment ministry. See, when you go out, have the consciousness of a king. Don't go out like a pauper. I told you last week, we are new creations. And what it means is that we have never existed before. The world have never seen our kind. We are not men.
make no mistakes about it. You are not a man. You are a God man. Men are men of the order of men. You are a man of the order of God. Paul calls you the mystery of the age. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are not an ordinary man. And so I told you, when you apply principles that men apply and it doesn't work, switch to your God element. There is something about you that carries the DNA of God. Bring it out and don't apologize about it. When God prospers you, don't apologize about it. There's nothing wrong with it. The Holy Ghost came to empower you. You are not weak. You are a wonder to your world. Bishop Oedipo said something. In the early 80s, he went to the U.S. to preach. And somebody came to him and told him, what needs does your ministry have? What? He turned with holy anger. Our ministry have no needs. Oh, what makes you feel you can help us? Who told you American citizens are better than kingdom citizens? Whatever it is you gain in your country, in my own country we gain more. I'm not a Nigerian. I came from Zion. Because when they see you black, they think they want to help you. When you apply for visa, they do like this. They think you are running. They don't know where we came from. Him that is from above is above all. That's our nativity. Make no mistakes. You are not somebody looking for help. You are mightily helped of God. Because if the Holy Ghost is in you, he said the wilderness will be turned into a fruitful field. A fruitful field will be counted for a forest. You can become a forest. It's called the empowerment ministry of the Holy Ghost. Ah! There are two other ministries. Time is gone. The fourth ministry is the revelational ministry. That's where I would have entered. But we don't have time. Now I want to pray over you. You didn't come here seeking a message. You came here to hear words consistent with your reality. Miles Monroe told a story. He said he went to Harare in Zimbabwe for a leaders' conference. And when he was done with the conference, the king told him a story. And what was the story? He said a shepherd took his sheep to graze at the backside of a mountain. And there he saw a cub, a young lion, who was dying of hunger. And so he took the young lion, gave it water to drink, and he looked around thinking he would see the lion. And he didn't find the lion or the lioness. So after so much thought and compassion, he couldn't leave the cub. So he took the cub home. And so eventually, the cub began to graze like a sheep. The reason is because, having lived with sheep for long, he thought it was also a sheep. So it was eating grass. A lion eating grass. Because it grew from a cub into a lion living with sheep. One day they went to the stream for a drink. And when the lion looked into the water, he took off. Ran off in fear. Because for the first time, the water revealed its true image to it. It had always seen itself as a sheep until it looked into another lens and it saw another image. So it thought a lion was coming out of the water to eat it, so it ran. After a while, they went home. Another time they came to graze and suddenly a lion came out of the jungle. And when the lion roared, the shepherd, the sheep, and the sheep, and the lion that had become a sheep by association also took off. But while it was running, the lion roared again and he heard something. And what he heard resonated with its DNA. And so it stopped. I know I've been with these guys for long, but I'm hearing something that sounds like a sound I hear in my DNA. And so he turned around. And when he looked at this lion, the lion roared again. This time around, the roar of that lion activated this one. And this lion that had been a sheep by association, for the first time in his life, he shook its beard. And when it roared,
The whole forest shook. At that point, it was left with a decision. Either to go back and remain a sheep by association, or to go into the jungle and rule like a king. At that point, it dawned on it. I can be with sheep for years. I am not a sheep. You have been with sinners for years. You are not a sinner. You have been with helpless men for years. You are not helpless. The only person you look like, his name is God, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the one who was, who is, and who is to come, the Alpha and the Omega. His name is Jesus. You want to find yourself? This is who you are. You are a God man. This is why you participate with the Holy Ghost. You want to pray in tongues for 1 minute before I pray for you? You are the order of the lion of the tribe of Judah. Maleko barakanos, vateke patakoa, ragaya koniate, emula kamando zozak, paroli apanaya, eya dolele kone, shaba kakonia. He said we are heirs of God, and so we are joint heirs with Christ, as he is, so are we in this world. The posture. It's never about the capital letter. It's a journey of self-discovery in God. Rahab was called a prostitute until the day of encounter. In the syllabus of the spirit, she was one of the progenitors of the Christ. Men called her a prostitute. Circumstances made her a prostitute. But when the word of the Lord came, she became the mother of Jesus. Gideon was paralyzed with fear. When the angel came, he didn't salute him from what circumstances made him. He said, "Thou mighty man of valor." How do you salute a fearful man as a mighty man of valor? There is something on your inside. You want to pray now and say, "Holy Ghost, if you have empowered ordinary men before, empower me tonight." Bakatoba lakata, shelado.
Blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com or visit us on our website at www.encounterjesus.cc to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege of discipling you. God bless you.